Bitter Wash Road is the 15th crime novel from Gary Disher. He's published over 40 books in a whole range of genres. And this is the scene. A teenage girl is lying dead by the side of the road. The local police say it was a hit and run. But there's a new cop in town, Constable Hirsch, who starts asking questions and stirring trouble. What he finds is a town riddled with corruption. And who is this man, this heroic cop? Gary Disher explains to Michael Cathcart.
Hirsch is a disgraced former detective. He was part of a suburban CIB team in Adelaide, which turned out to be corrupt. And when they were disbanded, some of the mud stuck to him, and he was demoted to uniform and sent to a little one-officer police station in the bush. Apparently these places still do exist. He comes under the control, though, of police in a nearby town, a little police station of three, who call him a dog, a maggot. In the police culture, his story would have spread rapidly and he would have been the subject of derision. Yeah.
Not only do they call him a maggot, I mean, they mime the act of shooting. When the other pass him in his car, they go...
Yeah, and they leave bullets in his letterbox and things like that.
They're charming fellows. In fact, he seems like a very civilised and articulate fellow. It's hard to believe he's in the same police force as these other yobs.
Well, I have taken notes on police corruption and this police culture in general for 20 years now. And all of this, I think, is quite plausible, quite true. I've read that it only takes one corrupt officer to corrupt a whole police station in 6 months. There are stories of police like this in rural Victoria, and I couldn't see why I couldn't transplant that to outback South Australia.
So these cops have a reputation for bashing the local Aboriginal kids, for example.
Yes, yep. And that was based on something that happened in regional Victoria about 10 years ago.
And the other practice they engage in is sexually exploiting the town's girls.
Yeah, and there have been plenty of stories in The Age about that too. Often in regional centres, I imagine it happens in the city as well, police trading sexual favours in return for getting a speeding fine or whatever it might be. I'm sure it goes on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Ray Latimer. This is a fantastic portrait. Ray Latimer is a big man in the town. In fact, he's the big man of the town. And he's a brute of a bloke, as was his father before him. In fact, the old man's still around. Just tell us about him.
He would love to have been a star footballer, but there was an injury. He comes under the control of his father. His father, in fact, is worse than Ray. They used to be wealthy, and they still hold to the influence that gave them. But now they owe money in the district. Their little empire's crumbling.
Yeah, so he's walking around as if he's still the big man, yeah. But he's got unpaid bills all over town.
Yes.
Yeah. His mistress, his girlfriend, after she's had a gutful of him, says the old man is a bully and a sadist, and so is Ray. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these men, the coppers we were talking about and these tough men in the town hold women in contempt. There's a female officer who comes to the district, and when she arrives at the station, the two policemen just taunt her. You know, one says, within her hearing, they reckon she'll root anything on two legs, and the other one says, four legs.
Yeah.
I mean, which is a good gag if you're into sexist gags. Hirsch is, that's the charming world that this poor bloke Hirsch has been catapulted into, demoted into, and he's drawn into investigating a death. So the victim is Melia, is that his name?
Melia
Donovan, who's a teenage schoolgirl, whose battered body has been found by the side of the road. It looks like a hit and run, but Hirsch is not so sure. He thinks it could be homicide. Just tell us briefly about that.
There is a hidden secret at the novel, a hidden crime that's been going on for a long time involving the young women, and it all stems from that. But ostensibly on the page, this is a hit and run, but Hirsch... He's a trained detective. He's only in uniform now, but he's trained to observe. And he examines the body and finds some uncomfortable indications that perhaps it wasn't a simple hit and run.
He's a very brave man. The whole time I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not, don't drive down that road. No, it's not going to be good. So he's tough.
Yeah, he's learnt to be because he was so derided and pilloried before the story starts. Went in his suburban police station when a lot of his fellow officers were brought up on corruption charges and all the rest of it, and he was seen as a whistleblower. So he suffered a year or two of this kind of ill treatment before being sent to the bush. So he's learnt coping strategies. He's learnt to outthink these guys. He knows ways in which they might want to trip him up.
Mm. When life gets in your way, you could use a gun.
Now, I love this book. I thought it was terrific. I just couldn't stop reading it. It was such a vivid portrait of a town that had gone to the pack. And, I mean, I love rural Australia. I've had wonderful experiences in rural Australia, and I don't share the view that everyone in rural Australia is a redneck. Far from it. I've met some of the most marvellous people in rural Australia. But if you wanted to create a portrait of a town where the bad elements had taken over, this is it. It's just spellbindingly good and kind of horrifying. Do you think crime fiction is some kind of window on crime and violence and human nature in the real world?
I think it is. I think literary fiction has let us down in regards to talking about the way we live now, the world around us. I think crime fiction is a barometer for prevailing social tensions, for example. When I'm writing one of my novels, the Mornington Peninsula novels, for example, and this one, I'm not interested only in crime and detection, but also in a sociological view of a community under strain, if you like, so that I try to layer my books with elements of social tension and social distress or whatever, and lines of influence through various, usually male figures and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They're all important to me as giving a total view.
There are American studies that find that the majority of deaths in crime fiction are women. In fact, the majority of them are white women. And yet, in real life, you're more likely to die if you're a man. So in Australia, just according to the current Australian Bureau of Statistics figures, 2/3 of the murder victims are men, mm-hmm. and 2/3 of them are killed by someone they know.
Yeah, but often they are simply solved crimes.
Yeah.
It's obvious who did it and what the motive might have been. But I think what is important is that women are more likely than men to be the victim of domestic and sexual violence.
But at the hands of someone they know. It's very unlikely for a woman to be killed by someone she doesn't know. So this is my point. It doesn't make good entertainment if you take the real world. So we should all calm down then and say, look, crime fiction is just a form of entertainment. And why we like it, maybe it's dark and mysterious, but just read it and chill out.
Well, yes, I probably would say that. But I also think that in my books, I'm doing more than simply entertaining you with a murder or how it might have been done or whether it's a sexualized victim or not. In good crime fiction, there's a lot more going on.
So the murder, is this what you're saying to me? Look, Michael, the murder is not the key. The murder is just a premise for a discussion of the wider society.
Yeah,
so you're focusing on the wrong thing.
I think so. I think what really matters in this book is the attitudes of a group of men in this rural community. Their privileged position, the assumptions they make.
Mm.
I think that's what the book's about. The theme of the book really isn't crime and punishment or crime doesn't pay, but the search for a true home. And here we have a man who's a fish out of water. He's looking for a true home. It could be a place or the arms of a lover or a peace of mind in some respects.
And a victim of injustice.
Yeah.
A policeman who's a victim of injustice. Yes. Yeah, and he's a powerful and poignant figure. Will we meet him again?
I think he's probably got legs as a serial character, yes.
I'm sure he does. I'm absolutely sure he does. The other question, I don't want to hammer you too hard because I love the book so much, but I suppose the other question that you have to ask about crime fiction, and you should ask this about the news in general, is it does give you the impression that we live in a very violent society, and yet statistically we're less likely to get killed today than we were 10 or 20 years ago.
Yes, but when violence does occur, it can be quite nasty and vicious and horrible to behold, particularly if it's drug-related or if it's a form of sexual violence.
Do you know who reads it? Have you got a sense of who your demographic is?
Certainly more women than men. Yeah, women than men are readers of crime fiction.
Yeah, that's what the English research shows. Yeah. 80% of readers of crime fiction in England are women.
Yeah. And I'm starting to have a sense, even, you know, it's taken me 50-odd books to get a sense that I do have a readership. 10 years ago, I didn't have a sense of a readership at all.
You have a personal sense of contact with them, do you?
I get emails and so on, and people come up to me at writers' festivals and tap me on the shoulder. So it's a good feeling, but, because I felt I was writing in the dark until then.
Yeah. Someone once said that publishing a book is like dropping a rose petal into the Grand Canyon and waiting for the echo.
Yeah.
But you've certainly had more impact than that. What about online? Do you have online contact with readers? Do you open yourself to contact through a website?
No. The website, people can email me and I always reply,
right.
But I'm not interested in Facebook or Twitter or any of those forms of communication.
Yeah. You've got a terrific website. I really enjoyed looking at it. As we wind up, it occurs to me that you grew up in remote South Australia, in Burra.
Yes. Well, I still call it home. I say to my friends, I'm going home for Christmas. Even though I left there at the age of 17, my family still lives there, and I do go home dutifully every year. My parents are quite old now, and there won't be many more opportunities. But it exerts a great pull on my imagination, so I have returned to it a few times over the years in fiction.
There's a longer version of that conversation about crime writing and what it is between Gary Disher and Michael Cathcart. You can find it online at abc.net.au/radionational. And the book, Bitterwash Road, is published by Text.